Good morning, everyone. It is 9:15. Wow, we have got a high-powered trio here today. Whitney Mintert is here. I just saw you last night.
Hey, Mary. Good to be here.
We had tacos, not lobster, but that's okay. That's an inside joke.
We did not have lobster.
We brought a lobster home, each of us. That's okay. It's too rubbery to cook. We won't go there. That's an inside joke. Gina Wolf is also here. Good morning, Gina.
Good morning, Mary. Nice to see you.
So glad to have you on board. And also, Diane Pieper is here, but she may not speak because she says these two ladies have done all the work and they get all the glory. But we're here to talk about the Child Advocacy Network, a big event that you are having coming up. I will be in attendance.
Yay!
I've gone for the last couple of years and I've really enjoyed it. The Child Advocacy Network and the Court-Appointed Special Advocate. You're having a big dinner. This is a Friday night affair. I believe it's, what, October 18th.
Yes,
okay.
Ma'am.
So I just did Motown on the 19th. That weekend, I am busy. That is a busy weekend in Quincy. But take time out to go to this banquet. It's got a tailgating theme, so you don't have to wear a tuxedo or anything. It's really going to be very relaxed, informal. You can come as a football player, a baseball player, tennis player, pickleball player, we don't care, cheerleader, whatever you want to do. It's kind of got a sports-related theme, so whatever that means for you, golf, whatever. It's a tailgate party to end all tailgate parties at the Ambiance. So before we get to the details of how we get tickets and everything, I want to talk about the Child Advocacy Network. Let's start with you, Whitney. Whitney Mintert, why are you involved in this? Why are you volunteering for this? What does this mean to you?
So I am actually a CASA volunteer, and that's how I came to know Advocacy Network and worked with Diane and Gina. I think I'm in my third year of doing that, which is just a fulfilling endeavor, helping the children of our community and making sure that they have a voice in court and as well as with the legal aspect of everything family related.
Okay, let's talk about, I'm going to dive deeper into that if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Whitney, you're not an attorney.
No.
So here's the deal. These are regular folk, although she's pretty exceptional, but we'll call her regular folk. And they're called court-appointed special advocates. They don't have any legal training. They don't need to be a lawyer. You are there to represent that child. What is in that child's best interest? Is the child being heard? Are both sides, the attorneys on both sides, listening to what's best for the child, for the family, for the foster family? Whatever's going to happen to this kid, which is not your decision.
Nope.
But you are going to be with that child. And every time they're in court, you're in court. Every time something happens in their life that's related to their case, you are there.
Correct.
It's a commitment of about, what, 10, 12 hours a month? But it's pretty intense.
It is pretty intense, and the stories are sad. I mean, let's face it.
Yeah, they're not.
If I'm involved, it's not a good situation.
Because it's a unicorn and a rainbow. Yeah,
correct.
So you're taking kids that are already in a horrendously tough situation, and your only job as a volunteer is to make them get through that process with as little damage to them as possible.
Absolutely, and as well as to the family, right? Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, there are good outcomes. There are kids that come into care that end up going back to their families and their unit becomes whole again. There are other situations where they go into foster care, so they leave their own home, they go to a separate home, and they're adopted through their foster family. So there's good outcomes all around. Obviously, our sole purpose is to provide a voice for that child. So it's not just the attorneys that are involved. It's not just DCFS that makes a decision or even the judge that just makes a decision. That it's an educated decision all around.
And the judges have come to respect CASA volunteers.
Absolutely.
They listen to what you say.
They do. Every time we have to go to court, for, you know, when it's a status hearing or what have you throughout the process, we provide a written report that goes to both sides, all sides, I shouldn't say both, because sometimes there's a third attorney, you know, for each parent if it's a split home. But it goes to the court and all parties involved. And I mean, firsthand I've seen where decisions are made based upon something that might have been written in my report.
Okay, that is great. Whitney Minter, thank you very much. Gina Wolf, what is your involvement with the Advocacy Network?
Okay, well, I have been on the fundraising committee for the last 3 or 4 years.
Because you're a party girl.
Because
I mean, so in other words, Whitney does all the hard lifting.
She does all the hard lifting, and I just do all the fun stuff,
okay.
Yes.
I kind of figured that. But.
Mary, you know me too well, so sorry. I love the, CASA. I love the Advocacy Network for Children. I think it's a wonderful organization, and I just want to be there to help. And in my small role, I take care of trying to just help the fundraising, make this a wonderful event, and do whatever Diane tells us to do.
Very good. She's good at taking directions, too. Well,
absolutely.
You know, I wanted to start with the seriousness of it, mm-hmm. because you see, the thing about the Child Advocacy Network, and you throw a great party, mm-hmm. but here's the problem. We need this show, or we need more communication about what this group is. Because, yeah, we're going to go to that party that night, we're going to have a ball. And yes, we are going to think about these children, but I don't think anybody, unless they've had this happen to them, or can fully comprehend the crisis these children are in and what the Child Advocacy Network does.
Certainly.
They have special rooms where they interview children who've been abused. They have special training to deal with that. You know, a police officer talking to a 40-year-old person suspected of murder uses a different tactic than if you're talking to a 6-year-old who said, my stepfather raped me. So it's such a highly specialized, such a great program, mm-hmm. and it needs a lot of money, even mm-hmm. though we don't see it a lot, even though they won't hear about it a lot. Mm-hmm. Although I've been trying to put in my newscast, whenever the Child Advocacy Network has been involved in the interview process, I try to put that in my newscast, you know, just so people, well, what's that all about? What, you know, what's that? Just so people say, maybe they'll go and Google it or something and find out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're going to go and have a great time, but the money's going to help a great cause and help Absolutely. Volunteers get trained, help kids get better advocacy, help everybody that's in the system. So
Absolutely.
Thank you for throwing a heck of a party. Now let's talk about the party, because it's going to be a heck of a party.
And you will get a lot of good statistics that night. So if you come, you will hear. Yes.
Yeah, I love
Absolutely.
To get educated. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what's going to happen?
Well, let's see. It is October the 18th at the Ambiance, like you said. We are going to have a live auction, silent auction, a great dinner. We will have, we're doing the ducks, which you buy a little rubber duck, and it has numbers on the bottom, and you have a chance to win like a patio cooler full of, do I have that right?
Fully stocked.
Exactly.
Who doesn't want to buy a duck for that?
Exactly.
Yeah, I bought a duck last year.
Yeah.
I did. I didn't win, but that's okay. Right. I had enough alcoholic beverages at the party
all right.
To make myself happy.
50-50. We also have, other than the 50-50, we have a bill me later. So anything you do that night, you can just get use your bid number, and we will bill you later. So you don't have to worry about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, because last I don't want to.
It works good.
Last time, one of the auction items went for over $5,000, and I'm like, "Wow, are you carrying that kind of cash?" So, because I was going to try to bop them over the head before they got to the cashier. So, knowing that I was in attendance, you guys, you can either pay with a credit card that night, or they can bill your business or whatever later.
Absolutely.
And again, you know, don't get scared. You don't have to bring $5,000, but. I was really amazed. I've been going for a couple of years, and I really, you know, my budget's more the silent auction side. But there are people who love this agency and
Absolutely.
Will bid on these live auction items that are very rare. In other words, you can't really put a price on them because you can't get them anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Are you willing to divulge what some of those may be? Or
well, let's see. Are we
can
going
you remember?
To? Yes.
So we will have some of those specialty bourbons again this year.
Yes.
That I think there's at least one on the live auction, and mm-hmm. but then we've got some others sprinkled in on the silent auction because
and
we want to make sure that
can
we
go up a lot too. Yeah,
agreed. But we want to make sure that everyone feels comfortable having a chance to win. Right. So. So that's
just participating.
Absolutely.
The duck is a very small buy-in. I joke. I said last year my table raised over $13,000.
Wow.
Greg and I did $40,000.
And we appreciate that just as much as anything else.
But, you know, I mean, again, it's just fun. And you get involved in these auctions, and the bidding starts getting crazy, and it's all for kids. Yeah. So who's going to say no? And then you go to the live auction or the silent auction, and you're like, well, I don't really need that, but hey, you know, I maybe wouldn't buy that at a retail store because I don't really need it, but I want it. Mm-hmm. And so if the money's going to go to kids, why not? Right. Why not? Exactly. Yeah. So that's a great benefit. But it's just as simple as the rubber ducky. Yeah. You know, you can go have a great meal, get educated, have some fellowship with people, and not spend a much more than your ticket. But, of course, the idea is to raise as much money as possible. Absolutely. And that's where Gina Wolf is really good at extracting that money from the unsuspecting audience. So what is on? What are other things are on the live auction?
Let's see. We have a couple of destination Airbnbs, whatever, condos.
In other words, you can't just walk up and get to this condo. You have to know these people.
Exactly. I think we have some tickets that are going to be on there, the Chicago Cubs tickets. And
Kansas City Chiefs tickets.
Yep.
There's a five-course small plate and cocktail pairing. So we're bringing back Chris Austin, who is amazing mixologist, and he is partnering with Kevin Minnick. They're getting together.
So again, stuff like that, you know, there's a value to that, I guess, but there's really no value to that. It's inestimable. You know, because that's a life experience.
Exactly.
And so that might be something that a group of people get together and all bid on together. And that's fantastic.
And have a great time doing it.
And then, of course, how many baskets or how many items do you have for the silent auction? Because there's lots.
I think we're up to 40.
Over 40, yeah. And there's things for kids. There's things for families. Mm-hmm. There's things for grown-ups. There's things for ladies, you know, yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. And the guys, even the guys.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my husband, I have to be careful. I have to supervise him.
Greg, bring your checkbook. It'll be fine.
Greg, bring your credit card. Your checkbook has no money in it.
Okay, or bill me later. We'll bill him later.
The reason I know Greg's checkbook has no money is because I just wrote a check out of Greg's checkbook and he drained him. So.
Oh, no.
So bring your credit card, Greg, and then we can worry about
or
it.
Or bill me later. We'll send it.
Yeah, we'll worry about it later.
Yeah, just to clarify, Mary, we do not take credit cards that
night.
Oh, right. It's all bill me later.
It's all bill me later.
Except for the
50-50. Okay.
Also want to mention new this year, we're going to do a bake sale.
Yeah.
So I have reached.
Is Gina Wolf baking? Because she's good.
I took a day off to bake.
Oh my God.
Yes. We have some wonderful board members,
staff, dinner committee members,
that are making things, or a couple might be buying some things from some local establishments, but we're going to do a bake sale as well. So something new to try.
Oh, I like it. I like it. I mean, there's plenty of food to eat there.
Absolutely.
But you can take
it
home.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, they're full-size items, and I think I know where my money's going.
There'll be like pies, and there'll be whole things.
Whole things, yep.
And then you can put them in the freezer, and you say, here's my homemade pie for Thanksgiving.
There you go.
It was not made in my home, but I don't have to tell that. I don't have to divulge that. Very good. Very good. I like it. So how do we get our tickets? Because we're getting up to the deadline where we need to get these tickets purchased.
Yeah.
The deadline is actually today.
But you're extending it.
But we can extend it a few days. If you have your reservation card, if you did receive an invitation, you can send that in. You can always give me a call at the office. Our number is 223-2272. I can get you on the list, and we can work out the payment after that. But we would like to have reservations no later than maybe Wednesday next week.
Okay, because it's a wonderful meal, and you have to make sure you have enough. Mm-hmm. How much are tickets?
$50 each.
Okay, $50 a piece.
Or people can buy a table of eight for $400.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, well, I tell you what, it's fun. Get up a group. It's just a load of laughs. It's a great evening. And the great thing about it is, you know, you're all relaxed. You're in your sports memorabilia. My Cubs and Cardinals fans were always fighting amongst each other, et cetera, you know. But the great thing about it is it goes to help that absolute great cause. So while Diane has decided to speak, which she said she wasn't going to, we'll ask her, how many children do you serve? What area do you serve? Tell us a little bit about what we need to know about the Child Advocacy Network that's like the nuts and bolts for folks out there who are like, I've heard of that, but I really don't know what that is.
Well, the Advocacy Network for Children has two main programs that no one else offers in the counties that we serve. We are in 9 counties in the area. Our Children's Advocacy Center, or CAC, is in 9 counties, and we help kids who have been, whose there's an allegation of sexual or physical abuse, or maybe they've been witness to a crime, domestic violence, something of that nature. We will get a call from law enforcement or DCFS to bring the child to one of our centers for a forensic interview. And that interview is done by a trained forensic interviewer. We have numerous numbers on staff that can do that. When they come into our office, it is a welcoming environment. The kids do not feel scared or uncomfortable or worried. We are there on their behalf. So we will interview the child, talk to the non-offending caregiver, and work with law enforcement and DCFS through the investigation of that case. And if
for younger kids, you might use stuffed animals or something for them to kind of reenact or to help explain their story. You have to be careful because you don't want to be accused of coaching, right? I mean, it's all done very carefully, right?
Yes, very, very carefully. No leading questions. Like I said, we have trained forensic interviewers that do continuing education. So it will stand up in court, and the kids feel welcome. And I mean, that's the most important thing, is to see if something did happen to that kid or child and then provide services after that. We can provide mental health counseling, and we go to court if a case is charged. So that is our Children's Advocacy Center. And our team is a wonderful team in all 9 mm-hmm. counties. We work with law enforcement, DCFS, state's attorney's office, mental health providers, medical providers. And our main focus is on the child and making sure that once they tell their story, they can begin to heal.
Okay. And the other aspect then is, the other part you do?
Is the CASA, which Whitney pointed out and talked about. So I think that is more well known. Our CASA program currently is in 7 counties. We are looking to expand into 2 more, possibly 3, in the very near future. So that is wonderful. We're always looking for volunteers. These are community members that just have a heart of gold for kids and want to help them when they're removed from their homes. So that is our other program. This past year, we've worked with or had more kids through our agency than we ever had. We had almost 1,100.
And that's heartbreaking.
Yes. A little over 600 in our CASA program, a little over 500 in our CAC program. And then the other program we provide is a prevention program. And we can go to schools throughout our 9-county region. Last year, our Happy Bear, or our PS, It's My Body, talked to over 2,700 kids to tell them about welcome and unwelcome touches, who to report abuse to, that it's not their fault, and to kind of educate them on that.
That is a great program, too, telling kids, I think, one of the things you say, if your bathing suit covers you, nobody should touch you where your bathing suit is or something. They use these terms that kids can understand without going into some graphic, thing. So it's all age appropriate. What you tell a kindergartner and what you tell a 7th grader are very different things about their body, but right. It's all age appropriate. Mm-hmm. Well, we've loved having you here. Folks, get your tickets. Call the office, get your tickets. Go on their website. It's going to be a fun night. It's a great Friday night. I don't know what I'm going to wear yet. I can't decide. I don't know how much I want to antagonize, the other people at my table, or if I want to play nice. I don't know. I just can't decide yet. But
that's a game time decision.
That is a game time decision. Exactly. Absolutely. So Gina Wolf, Whitney Mintert, Diane Pieper, thank you so very much for coming by today. This is such an important topic. It's not really stuff you talk about at a cocktail party, I'm a child abuse advocate, I mean, it's interesting, but we don't want to think about it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to think about 1,100 kids that needed this program, But I'm sure glad that you guys have this program. I'm sure glad people are going to come and raise money for this program, because hopefully this never touches our lives, but it touches a lot of people's lives. If 1,100 kids have been involved in this program, it's very, very critical.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for your time today. We really greatly appreciate it.
Thanks, Mary.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back, and we'll talk about the Rotary Club and the great things they're doing in the Quincy community. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Mary Griffith Show. It is 9:38, and I am pleased to have in studio with me Helen Andelin, who is a student at Notre Dame High School and who has a heart for helping those who are disadvantaged in Haiti. This started out when you were a student at Blessed Sacrament School. Blessed Sacrament Parish has what we call a sister parish relationship with St. Antoine's or St. Anthony's Parish in Haiti. And it's interesting because as a young woman yourself, you thought, wow, what would happen if I was afraid to go to school? What would it be like if I didn't have enough food or clothing to wear to school? So you really got interested in learning about what was going on in Haiti, and you stepped up and did something about it. So first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself, if you don't mind.
I'm 14. I attend Notre Dame. I'm very faith-based. I could say I really like helping others. It brings a lot of joy, especially my family and just anyone like who I'm able to help. It just enlightens my day. And yeah, I don't know.
Okay. So obviously it's very easy to help people around you, and it's very easy to be helpful at home or helpful to your neighbor or helpful in a wider Quincy area thing that Notre Dame might participate in. But you raised money to build a very special thing at a school in Haiti. Something that, you know, a lot of schools have fences around them, but this fence, this wall around this school in Haiti is different. This is really because kids were being kidnapped and machine gun fire and all kinds of stuff. Talk a little bit about the conditions down there.
Okay, so we had our school talk to us about this, and so this might not be like everything like fully 100% correct, but yeah, their school is kind of up this hill, and there were these gangs in Haiti that would harvest kids' organs, like take them for ransom, kill them, publicly kill them, and all this stuff. And so our school had the opportunity to build a fence around it because, like, the gangs were starting to come into where that part of Haiti is. And so, yeah, that was, like, the original idea. And it was really, like, sad to hear that, especially because, like, in Quincy, you don't hear, like, you don't really hear about that, except like the minor, or not minor, but like the things that happen on the news.
Trafficking. I mean, kids aren't stolen off the playground in fourth grade and taken and put into a slave trade or a sex trafficking. And so it's kind of hard at 14, you know, and you're younger when you started this project, to wrap your mind around the fear level that must be there. I mean, now you're 14, you kind of can comprehend it. You wouldn't want it to happen to you. But what did you do to raise money? Because it's one thing to say, well, that's terrible, we ought to do something, but you have to do something. Yeah, what'd you do?
So our school started a thing called Penny Wars, where it was originally you bring in like we were just trying to raise money, and so it was like a penny on Monday, a quarter on Tuesday, and then like Friday was when you bring in dollars. And it was the first day we had been talked about it, because the fourth graders like made this thing. Because originally it was just in our parish, like our parish was just going to raise money, because like they go around and they get money. And then our school, like, introduced it. And then first day, I was like, you know what? Like, it also was a competition for, like, the classes, who could raise the most. Whoever raised the most got a non-dress code day. But that, like, wasn't really, like, even as important as the joy of, like, knowing that this would be going to a good cause. So the first day that I heard about it, I was like, you know what? I live in Spring Lake, and so I'm going to just try to raise money. So I went around just, like, my little segment of the neighborhood, and if you know it, Spring Lake's pretty big, and so I just went around like kind of by me, and I raised $89 that day, and I brought it back to school, and my teacher Gail Roskamp was so excited. Everyone was like, oh my goodness, like that's crazy. And then I think that definitely like influenced other people to like want to help too, because then like a couple days later, my friend Cadence, she went around her neighborhood and collected like $165, which was really big. And then, like, so forth, I was, like, you know what, I can go around my whole neighborhood. So me and this little kid named Abram Hendry, and he's not little, he's in seventh grade.
But he was little.
he was in seventh grade. And I was like, hey, Abram, will you come with me like to collect around the neighborhood? So we went from house to house. I'm pretty sure we started at 3, and we ended at like 7, just going around collecting. And that day, I'm pretty sure we raised a little bit over $600. It was so crazy because, like, we had it in, like, little jars. And at the end, we were like, hey, Abram, how much did you make? Because, like, halfway through, we split ways. And it was so, like, wonderful to, like, feel, like, the love and, like, how people were like, I'm so glad you were doing this. Like, everyone was like, I'm so happy that you were, like, this, like, devoted. And, yeah, it was really nice to, like, be able to just be like, oh my goodness, we raised $600 or a little over $600 in one day.
And Helen Andelin, it's not just the money you raise, but you raise the awareness of those people that you were knocking on their door.
Yeah.
That have young children. A lot of people out there have kids that live in that neighborhood, the Hendrians, yeah, and others. And it's like, hey, you know, what? How would you feel if this was happening to us? If this, yeah, was happening in Quincy, we'd all be shocked. It's happening. It really is, yeah, happening. So we applaud you. Now, obviously, Blessed Sacrament Parish continues to raise donations for St. Antoine's Parish. I'm not asking you a big political question, but there's a lot of turmoil down there. What do you think, besides the love of God and love of your neighbor, what's going to turn that around? Because it's a political mess down there, more than a 14-year-old can solve, yeah, that's for sure. But, I mean, what's going to happen down there? What can happen down there?
To be honest, I've heard a lot of stuff about how they're, I don't know what it is. I think it, well, like what we would call their president just left, like he just fled, and so they had no one. It was basically the terrorists were taking over Haiti and no one could do anything, and like they wouldn't let Americans in. So we, like, Blessed Sacrament has done like trips to Haiti before with like other people too, and
can't do that anymore
because it's so incredibly dangerous there. And they, like, if they see an American there, they will, like, you're immediately getting taken off the streets. But the other thing is you're not even allowed into their country. No one's allowed to leave. And I, to be honest, think that, well, at this point in life right now, there's a lot of war. And so I don't really know what would be able to help it. I think more, like, generous people. But the hard thing is a lot of people can, like, hack the system and try to get the money that people send them, because you can't send it in mail because their mail's facilities,
yeah,
are getting
the mail will, anything you, yeah, send down there has to be done very carefully because, yeah, it will be confiscated. So we work closely with the priest down there to try to get money to him, and he's trying to buy food and medicine. It was a lot better when we could actually bring it down ourselves,
yeah,
and actually personally go there. But thank you so much for coming by today and telling your story. You know, a lot of times on the news we have stories about teenagers that are doing things wrong.
Yeah.
We don't have enough stories about teenagers doing things right. That's why I wanted to have you on.
Yeah.
Thank you, Helen, for everything you're doing.
Of
Keep
course,
that caring,
yeah,
compassionate voice that you have. And remember, you may not be able to do much. You're not going to solve the political problems in Haiti, but you're making life better for those kids that go to that school.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to think about. It's like, I can do this for that group of people.
Yeah.
Keep it up. Thank you so much.
Yep, of course.
We'll take a break. Get back to school. Oh, you didn't have school today. You didn't have Teacher Institute today. I'm like, oh, well. So thank you for coming in on your day off. It's one thing to skip school, yeah, to come here, but I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. We'll be back, and we'll talk about the Rotary in just a minute.
All right.
We are back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Thank you to Helen Andelin for coming in on her day off school. Most 14-year-old kids aren't even out of bed at this hour, and she's in here talking about Haiti, so that is great. Maybe a future Rotarian. I know Karen Mayfield was probably out there recruiting her as we sit. Those of you who attended Rotary's Oktoberfest, that woman who was dancing wildly in the street looks a lot like me, but I would never claim that she was me. So,
oh, come on, Mary.
Come on. Katie Crouser and Karen Mayville are here. And Rotary does so many great things. And one of the things you do is have a foreign exchange student program. And several kids from this area have gone and been foreign exchange students. And now they're leading these great lives, many of them still overseas, helping others. And you want to talk a little bit about that. So, Katie Crouser, Karen, who's going to tell me about Brian Waters? return to Quincy, triumphant return.
Well, he is one of our upcoming programs. Every Tuesday at noon at the Holiday Inn, Rotary Club of Quincy meets out there, and we just have the best, we have such a great group, and it really is so invested in the community and invested in the world internationally. And so, yes, we do offer the exchange program to students. Last year, we had an outbound student, Gavin Shoemaker. He had a great time. He came back from the country that he went to and brought us all kinds of goodies and treats and snacks. This year, we have an inbound student, Luis. He is at QHS this year. And, yeah, the hope is always that these students will experience this opportunity. They will come back to Rotary and talk to us about it, go on and become Rotarians themselves. And Brian Waters is one of those success stories. He is coming back on the 15th of this month, and he's going to talk about water sustainability in developing countries. He has been over in African countries working on this as a project, working with the people who are in those countries to make sure it is a sustainable opportunity for the people that live there and not just somebody coming in and throwing a Band-Aid at it.
That's important. I mean, we need eyes on the ground there that we can trust, because when you give money to a project, you want to know that it's helping. Now, Brian and all three of the Waters boys did go on outbound overseas adventures, and I believe all three still live overseas, not in Africa. Brian lives in South Korea, right?
Yes.
Yes. But, I mean, he has decided that, you know, this world view that he got from Rotary, which was encouraged by his mother, Nancy, a Rotarian, he got this world view, and so now he's very safe and comfortable in South Korea, but he's also still looking to what needs to be done in Africa. Water, sustainable water projects are huge.
Yes.
It makes such a difference in their life. So that's one thing I know Rotary supports. So you're going to hear from one of your own about the success, and I'm sure there'll be a check that will be written at the end of the day.
I would imagine so.
So, you know, we love that you have Oktoberfest and have us get to dance. That band was out of this world from St. Louis. That band was the So Grand Polka Band, or whatever they were called.
So Grand Polka Band. Yes.
They were absolutely fantastic. Everybody had a great time. And, of course, the good Lord shined on the Rotary Club and gave them good weather for the day. So in addition to having your meetings, having very good speakers that really empower people, what other things has Rotary got coming up?
Well, we have Melissa Hess coming actually on Tuesday of this coming week. She's going to talk to us about Chadock Residential overview. And then later in the month, we are going to have Chatty Miranda coming in to talk about the opioid overdoses and Narcan. We also have Roger Lienertz, Rotarian, who is coming to talk about the QU Center for Entrepreneurship and Innovation. This is a new project that has been taken on over the summer. And, you know, just really bringing any student, not just the ones that are in business or that are already in management, but any student that has an interest in becoming an entrepreneur or working in innovation in any way, to give them that opportunity while they're in college and give them a solid foundation for if they're going to start their own business later. But Rotary also has projects. We were just out at the John Wood Workforce Development Center, which, of course, Rotary helped sponsor their community space. So we've got our wheel on the wall out there. We got to visit and get a tour. A lot of people, I think, did the practice welding simulation and got to...
Somebody started themselves on fire like I did. Yeah, my dress, I have a skirt now that is lace.
No!
You know, but not supposed to be lace, but it's lace.
This was the simulation, not the real thing.
Yeah, I did the real thing, yeah. So yeah.
Well, good for you, braver than I am.
Yeah, well, braver until I went, I'm welding, I'm on fire. Yeah, Fred Nathold will never get over it, but...
Probably not.
But you're learning so much. I mean, that Rotary wheel, you mentioned it. A lot of times people see that wheel and they see Rotary and they're like, what is that? That's a service club emblem. And whenever you see that on a park, on a building, on a plaque somewhere, that means that the Rotary Club donated significant funds to make that happen.
And those funds come from things like Oktoberfest,
right,
which is why we love doing it. And Karen and her team did such a phenomenal job getting that all set up, you know, working with the vendors, working with the other service organizations to make sure that all of that comes off and seamlessly happens.
Well, yeah, like you said, yeah, it's a committee that really does the pre-planning for the event. And I can't say enough to my crew that helped me out. But we also have to thank the vendors who supply the food and the beverages, our sponsors, and we have to thank our partner, that's DB2 Events in Cuba, and you have to really thank the community. They came out and they supported Rotary. we had a really good crowd. It was just consistently nice, and everybody was coming, enjoying themselves from noon to 10 p.m. It was a lot of work, but I enjoyed being there because everybody else was really enjoying themselves.
And you got to see all your friends and neighbors that you haven't seen for a while, and it was really fun. Now, Karen came out of a nursing and healthcare background. Katie, you're a librarian. What made you join Rotary? How long have you been a Rotarian, Katie?
I am working on my third year,
wow.
I think. Yeah, third year.
So when you went to QU, is that when you decided to join?
Right before that, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just right before that. It was something that Nancy Waters had introduced me to and was very interested. Dean Lavelle also was a very strong supporter of that. He's also a Rotarian. And so we were just thinking, like, how else can the public library have a presence in the community? We decided that that was a good step. And then, you know, I moved.
But you kept with Rotary.
Still a librarian and still in reinforcing that idea of literacy in the community, supporting literature, supporting all of the things that we do to help people learn and grow throughout the community. And so I'm honored to do it. I actually inherited the secretarial position at Rotary from Karen. So she trained me up on the things I should try to keep accomplished every month.
You know, a lot of people say, I'd love to join the service club, but it's too much time. I don't have the noon hour free or whatever. You know, I've got some blocks that are preventing me from doing it. And some people can't. I mean, and they may not, there's a service club for everybody. It may not be Rotary. But while I've got you here, because it seems to me that one of the things that's a benefit of being a Rotary member, and you can talk to this as a younger member, Katie Crouser, is the people you get to meet. Because you were, I mean, I'm sure your boss loves that you're out there networking, because Quincy University is a big part of our community, but you also can be isolated. You know, a lot of people don't just go to the library. I don't just walk into Brenner Library, you know. I mean, I'm not a student. I'm not on campus, so I'm not going down Penny Lane all the time or doing any of that. So we have to meet people from Quincy University, and mm-hmm. Quincy University people have to get out and meet people in our community. And so how important is that aspect of being a Rotary member?
Well, it really is a very symbiotic relationship, and I think everyone in Rotary understands that, that you're not just in there to give service to Rotary and to the community and to help with projects and all of those things. It's also so that you know the people to contact and reach out to when you have questions or when you have problems in the community. You really want to build that up and say, oh, I now know Mike Klingner, and I can go to him and ask him about this project, or I know Karen, and that she's going to come and help me talk about something medical, or, you know, we can have those connections. It builds such a strong network within the community, and with all of the service organizations, it really does that. We have members that have also been members of other service organizations, and so you start working together. We run the poker tables out at KC Barbecue, and then they let us borrow their tables for Oktoberfest. You know, it really becomes such a reinforcing strength to have all of these clubs and organizations as part of the Quincy community.
When do you meet, and how can we join?
We meet on Tuesdays.
Karen,
I was going to let Karen answer.
Karen. I know. Katie is so dynamic.
I know.
But you're dynamic,
thank
too.
You. Oh, well, thank you. Yes. Thank you. Well, we meet Tuesdays, every Tuesday, and start noon. And our programming starts about 12:15. It's at the Holiday Inn on 48th and Oak. And you can just come in and see what we're all about and what programming.
It's about an hour. I mean,
you're in and out. We're very conscientious of people's time because we know you're taking your lunch hour for it.
Mm-hmm. So if you want to go Tuesday at noon, just show up or go to their website and learn a little bit more about mm-hmm. it. But they would love to see you there. What's the next big project that's coming up? I think I might have asked you that. But is there any? I know Oktoberfest was huge. Is there anything else that's coming up besides your regular meetings, which you have great speakers? Is there anything else?
Well, something that we do like to highlight, and I know Evie Morrison has spoken about this, but we do the VOTEC Students of the Month, and we recognize students that are focusing on their education, but also on their practical skills and their vocational skills that they're going to be able to come out of high school with. And so that's going to be coming up at the end of the month. We'll recognize the Student of the Month. We also have, you know, just some other things that are happening. Early plug for the Bourbon and Popcorn event.
Bourbon and Popcorn.
No.
Yes. November.
Yes. Bourbon and Popcorn. Yes. So definitely we want you to do that. They rescheduled it to November, and they're going to have all these exotic bourbons that you can taste, and they're going to be blind tasting. So, you know, if you think you're a hoity-toity and you know you may be drinking something that is not as hoity-toity, and you know what? If you like it, who cares? I'm always like, who cares if Dom Perignon doesn't taste good to me and I Winky Now at Aldi does? I'm drinking Winky Now.
Exactly.
Thank you, ladies, for coming today. The Rotary Club
meets
Tuesdays at noon. They'd love to have you at the Holiday Inn and support all of their charities.